the gospel reading today, we hear about Anna, who is in the temple day and night fasting and prayer. Obviously a very holy woman. And because of her prayer, because of that holiness, she's able to recognize who the Lord is. But it's interesting how it is spoken of the people to whom she spoke, and that is that she spoke of the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. Not to those who were looking for the redemption of their souls. Jewish people didn't necessarily have that concept, but nonetheless, for those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. What we see in that is the recognition Jerusalem is called to be the holy city. It is to be the dwelling place of God. Scripture says it is the true pole of the earth. It's the axis on which everything revolves, because that's where the true worship of God was done. And it had become so corrupt. In fact, by the time it was destroyed in the year 70, the Jewish historian Josephus says that the demonic activity in Jerusalem was so bad that if the Romans hadn't destroyed it, the earth itself would have opened up and swallowed it. That's how heinous things had become. And it's understandable how that works. If there is something that is very good, if it's going to be rejected or corrupted, it is going to be very bad. It's going to go to the opposite extreme. If there's something that's so good, it'll be so and so bad. So God brought his greatest gifts to Jerusalem. It is supposed to be the center of the earth. And the people rejected it. We know that when our Lord was born, that Herod and all Jerusalem with him were troubled. They didn't rejoice at the birth of Jesus. They were troubled at the birth of Jesus. They had given in to worldliness, exactly the thing St. John is talking about. It is the holy city. And yet they had decided that worldliness was more important. Money was more important. Things were more important. Sound familiar? Welcome to America, where we have made materialism and all the things, sensual lust, enticements for the eye, and a pretentious life. Isn't that the American way these days? So we really need to look at this for ourselves. Right now, obviously, the New Jerusalem, which is the church, is supposed to be the leaven in the world. We are supposed to be the light on the mountain, on the hill. And right now, we're not doing a very good job of that. Somewhere along the line, it was decided that we need to let the world into the church. And the results have been a disaster. We have stopped, not entirely, but in essence, we have stopped putting the focus on the worship of God, and we have made it a human reality. In many parishes, it's all about entertainment. It's all about trying to find new and exciting ways to bring people to church. How about putting God at the center? People will come. Because we recognize that we're here at Mass for God. Not for ourselves, for Him. Obviously, we are going to receive an infinite amount by being here because we're going to receive Jesus. But we have to look at it as it truly is. Jesus is here for us. We are supposed to be here for Him. And if our focus is on the Lord, then we're going to be okay. If our focus is on ourselves, that's the path to destruction. And if our focus is on ourselves, then we're going to look for whatever is going to fulfill whatever the self desires. In other words, sensual lust, enticements for the eye, and a pretentious life. Because it's all about me. But if we can get that turned around and get the focus put on God, then those things don't matter. They're put in proper perspective. And so we have to learn a lesson from this beautiful woman in the gospel. Obviously, we can't all be in the church day and night with fasting and prayer. But every one of us can look at our prayer life and ask, is it where it belongs? Am I praying as I ought? How much time am I wasting with foolishness? How much am I giving in to worldliness? How much effort am I spending to try to fit in with people who are not interested in God? Those are the kinds of things all of us can look at. And then we can make those adjustments. Make sure the prayer is the priority. Again, your duties of your state in life may not allow you to be spending tremendous amounts of time in prayer. But prayer is part of the duty of our state in life. It's part and parcel of just being a Christian person. So it's not an option. We can't say, oh, I'm too busy to pray. If that's the case, then we're way too busy. We need to get rid of some stuff so that we can pray. And not just say a prayer. Have time for prayer. Making God the priority. Fixing our heart on Him. In other words, prayer isn't give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Prayer is, I love you. I'm here for you. I want to serve you. How do I conform myself more perfectly to your holy will? That's the whole point of prayer. Yes, we have to have requests and so on, and we all do, and that's fine. But the point of prayer isn't about the requests. Remember, the four ends of prayer are adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and petition. So the petition is there. For a lot of us, that becomes the focus of prayer. That's not really what it's about. That is an end, but not the end. So how much time are we spending with adoration and contrition and thanksgiving as opposed to petition? Again, just some things to think about as we look at our prayer life. So praise God that you're here and that you're putting God at the center. But even there now, just to look at it and say, am I really here to worship the Lord? Is that what I'm doing? Where is my heart as I look at this? How much of it is about me and what I can get? How much of it is about the Lord and what I can give? Remember, He is here 100% for you. So you don't need to worry about what you're going to get. You get the Lord. You get 100%. You get the one who is all in all. So we don't need to be here for a selfish reason. Our Lord is asking us for charity, to be here out of love for Him. That's what we want to keep trying to work our hearts in that direction. And if we can put it that way, then we start pulling away from the things that are worldly, because we recognize the only thing that fulfills is God and charity. The things of the world, oh, they're exciting for the moment, and then they leave you empty. And then the devil's right there to say, well, because you feel so empty, you just need more. And so we keep giving in more and more and more and going deeper and deeper into sin. And we become less and less fulfilled. We become miserable. The things of the world do not fulfill because they cannot fulfill. The only thing that fulfills the desire of the heart is love, and God is love. So that's what we want, is to be focused on Him. Like I said, the more focused we are on Him, the less we're going to be focused on ourselves and on the world. And that's where our freedom is going to be. Then we can really be who we're supposed to be. We can be that light on the hill. We can be the leaven in the world. We can be the ones who bring the truth into a world that doesn't know the truth, to bring hope into a world that's filled with despair, to bring light into the world that is engulfed in darkness. You have everything. It's all right there for you. So all we need to do is conform ourselves to it. That's what our Lord is asking of us. So a great opportunity, especially as we look at the new year coming up and people like to make all their resolutions and so on, maybe to make that resolution to focus less on the world, the sensual lust, the enticements of the eye, and a pretentious life, to put our focus on God and on the true love of God and true love of neighbor, to bring that fulfillment as the Lord desires.